Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here for another week of Turning Towards Life. Welcome to all of you. Welcome, Lizzie. It's fantastic to feel the growing rings of participation in this project and in this conversation, Lizzie, and I'm really glad to be with you again. Thank you, all of you, for joining us, whether you're listening to us on a podcast, maybe you're on YouTube or Instagram, maybe you're over on our turningtowards.life website, where I will just say briefly, you can also find out details if you're listening in 2025 or maybe beyond. You can find out details of a gathering, a live on Zoom gathering we're planning to hold on June the 8th, afternoon time, UK time, which will be our 400th episode. Very exciting to have the possibility, Lizzie, of meeting people and talking with people and learning with people, with all of you. And then from September, we are beginning Turning Towards Life Live, which will be a rolling 6-month season of study and conversation and practice and community together. And you can find out the details there. Always a very good idea. If you're interested, you can sign up to our weekly email on our website. And that way you get everything in your inbox, fresh and ready to go. And Lizzie, you've brought us the most wonderful source for this week, which I'm feeling very moved by and very glad for. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Yeah, so if anybody was listening last week, at the kind of the end of our conversation, we got to this real wondering about death and whether people really die or whether they live in a different way once we have lost their bodies, but they still exist somehow. And so we left with that wondering, and we were talking about, Justin, your granddad, your grandfather being loved right now as well as then in his body and when he didn't have a body anymore. And it kind of threw us into this really lovely piece of the conversation. And then Nick Cave's Red Hand Files, which will randomly arrive in our inboxes, don't they? Nick is like an agony aunt of a rock and roll kind. And he responded to something just this week, and it seemed like a continuation of our conversation, and so I couldn't help but think, let's do it. This is the thing that we should have for this source this week. So essentially the form is that Nick gets a note from somebody, and then in a time maybe in between gigs or when he has time, which is quite random, he responds to them and then sends them a response through his site, and it's called the Red Hand Files, and it's really beautiful, and I would advise anybody to go and check it out and find out about it and receive it to your inbox. It's very beautiful. And Nick Cave, for anybody who doesn't know, is many, many things, but he's a wonderful songwriter, musician, dad, husband, lots of things, and his writing is really beautiful as well as all of his music. So here we go. This is Amy in Los Angeles writing to Nick, and then Nick responds, and we're going to read this to one another. So Amy says, "My dad died suddenly and unexpectedly. We moved and only saw him for 2 weeks of what turned out to be his last year on earth. Now I feel like I have failed him so terribly. How do you apologize to someone who is gone? How do you say I love you? And I'm so sorry when their ears and their heart don't exist anymore." And then Nick responds, "Dear Amy, it's 3 a.m. and we've just played Kansas City. Sleep will come, but not just yet. I've started reading some of the questions that have come into the Red Hand Files. I found yours and I thought perhaps you could try this. It might be helpful. Find a quiet spot where you can be alone and far away from distractions. Close your eyes and picture your father. Then say these words, quietly or in your head. You are my father. I am your daughter. I love you. I'm sorry. You may feel uncomfortable or embarrassed when you do this because it seems from your question that you fundamentally believe that your father is gone, that his ears and heart don't exist anymore, and that you are speaking to no one, a nothing, a void. But perhaps if you pay close attention, you may discover a part of you, a pulse of spiritual recognition, distant, hidden, neglected. This is the soul calling to you from beneath the compacted veneer of your unbelief. I believe, but I do not know, that this feeling is the eternalness of your father. I've spent nearly a decade in communion with this softly spoken presence. The impossibility of my sons, Arthur and dear Jethro, a faraway thing buried deep beneath my skepticism, becoming an emergent belief. I suspect your father will hear your words, but I do not know. At the very least, by acknowledging the sacred and mysterious nature of things, these words will impact the general condition of the world, not to mention your own injured heart. I believe we must take our subtle spiritual intuitions seriously and view them as the quintessence that underlies the ordinary world. The rejection of the sacred is the fundamental reason of our existential discontent. I love you and I'm sorry spoken into the universe are two sentiments forever worth declaring. I think of you, Amy, and your situation. I feel the answer to your question will always exist outside the world as it presents itself, beyond the matters of the day, distinct from the temporal. It will be found within the mysterious, the unsettled, and the sacred, that faraway and intangible place where truth and music and your father reside. I hope you find some relief. I'm sorry for your loss. Love, Nick.
Thank you, Lizzie. So now I'm going to read, and a reminder that you can find this source primarily at Nick Cave's Red Hand Files, but also on our website and in the show notes and in the emails. I'm going to read Nick's response. Dear Amy, it's 3 a.m. and we've just played Kansas City and sleep will come, but not just yet. I've started reading some of the questions that have come into the Red Hand Files. I found yours and I thought perhaps you could try this. It might be helpful. Find a spot where you can be alone and away from distractions. Close your eyes and picture your father and then say these words quietly or in your head. You are my father. I am your daughter. I love you. I'm sorry. You may feel uncomfortable or embarrassed when you do this because it seems from your question that you fundamentally believe that your father is gone and that his ears and heart don't exist anymore and that you're speaking to no one, a nothing, a void. But perhaps if you pay close attention, you may discover a part of you, a pulse of spiritual recognition, distant, hidden, neglected. This is the soul calling to you from beneath the compacted veneer of your unbelief. I believe, but I do not know, that this feeling is the eternalness of your father. I've spent nearly a decade in communion with this softly spoken presence, the impossibility of my sons, Arthur and dear Jethro. A faraway thing buried deep beneath my skepticism becoming an emergent belief. I suspect your father will hear your words, but I do not know. At the very least, by acknowledging the sacred and mysterious nature of things, these words will impact the general condition of the world, not to mention your own injured heart. I believe we must take our subtle spiritual intuitions seriously and view them as the quintessence that underlies the ordinary world. The rejection of the sacred is the fundamental reason for our existential discontent. I love you, and I am sorry, spoken into the universe are two sentiments forever worth declaring. I think of you, Amy, in your situation. I feel the answer to your question will always exist outside the world as it presents itself, beyond the matters of the day, distinct from the temporal. It will be found within the mysterious, the unsettled, and the sacred, that faraway and intangible place where truth and music and your father reside. I hope you find some relief. I'm sorry for your loss. Love, Nick.
It's so moving to hear you read that, Justin. And I'm having a massive flow of love in me for Nick and the way that he shows us who he is in his writing and in his responses to all of these letters, and how he's doing this incredible job, I think, of kind of bridging the worlds, like the kind of gross world with the mysterious sacred world somehow in a very ordinary, straightforward kind of way. And I'm so grateful for him being able to do that. I'm so grateful for marrying up the skepticism and an emergent belief and knowing that they can both be here and for him just being so straightforward with it all. And I, as you were reading, Justin, I was holding some people in my mind who are no longer, as Amy says, in a place where they have ears and hearts in existence in this physical way that we all live. And what I'm appreciating is the invitation from Nick that there's a communion possible, like I can be in relationship that way. And that practice of you are my father, I am your daughter, I love you, I'm sorry, and always having I love you and I'm sorry is things worth saying, whether there's anyone listening to you or not in physical body, but the what that makes us into by being someone who says I love you and I'm sorry, just in our own worlds. And the fact that he places such value on that feels so real and so important to me. And I just love this feeling of what does he say? The spiritual intuitions as the quintessence that underlies the ordinary world. Like, what does it mean to be this kind of pay attention this much so that we can feel into what underlies the ordinary world? And that we can feel that life source. It feels so vibrant. It feels so filled with life force and reality. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, what's really real to us, what we really love, what we really belong to, what we really feel grief for, feels like where Nick's pointing us into. And I love the kind of the marriage of humanity and ordinary, this plain ground that we're on now with everything that kind of underpins it. And I think that's what Nick stands for to me, because he's like, it's a 3 a.m. He's just played a gig. He's a serious person in the world who burns the candle at both ends and lives and is super creative. And he sits there and brings this to life at the same time. It's wonderful.
I've been feeling in, Lizzie, as you've been talking, I've been feeling into that soft, tender spot in me where it feels like all the loved ones, where I have contact with all of my loved ones, the ones who are not here anymore. And I'm really taken by this thing that Nick says in one way or another, that our rejection of our subtle intuitions has got a lot to do with the discontent that we live in the midst of the world. Mm. And because he's a very intelligent and thoughtful and truthful person, Nick, I appreciate that he is not here laying out a metaphysical explanation that we're all meant to kind of buy into in order to see the world aright, you know, like, this is where your father is. This is where my grandfather is. What he says to us is, pay attention. Notice that there are times when it really feels like we are in intimate contact with something alive that is an expression of the ones we've loved and known when they were living with us. Don't discount the subtle, gentle, tender, truthful, love-filled intuitions of ours. Don't turn away into cynicism. Don't make our lives shallow as if they were just a surface. And there's this great word where he says, you just quoted this part, and I was also very taken by it, Lizzie. I feel that the answer to your question, to Amy's question, will always exist outside of the world as it presents itself. And there's a sense that the world, with its deep mystery, presents itself to us, like the world appears to us and we see the surface of it. But to only take the surface that presents itself as if it was the whole of everything is to really miss something that we know is true from paying attention to our own insides. And there's a whole sort of philosophical movement to say the only real things are hard material things, and hard material things aren't conscious, and therefore we're not even conscious. We ought to discount our own experience as if it were some kind of illusion or some kind of fantasy, as if it weren't real. And Nick is saying, no, 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 no. Pay attention to your experience. And I know from reading Nick that he is also not prone to, that doesn't mean take everything you experience as the truth. You know, sometimes we experience huge judgments or hate towards other people. Sometimes we experience, so our own experience isn't the whole truth. And yet, and here it is, being able to say, I'm your daughter, I'm your son, I'm your grandson, I love you, I'm sorry. If we will say it and listen quietly enough inside us, we'll feel a response. Now, what is the response? I don't think it really matters that we know completely what the response is, but that there is something in us that responds to the life of others, that carries the life of others intimately inside us alongside our own life, I think can be a great source of wonder and aliveness and mystery and gratitude. And it also softens us. It brings us in close to something which I think can soften the reactive, the more kind of reactive, rigid parts of ourselves that try to deal with the world as it presents itself by, it's very easy for us to, harden ourselves up and armor ourselves up. Well, I'm completely alone and nothing means anything. And now all I can do is toughen myself up. And that's when we get into being certain and being absolute. And Nick's writing invites us into something that's really uncertain. In fact, it's the uncertainty and tenderness of it, and also the truthfulness of it, that is so heart-opening and I think brings us back into contact with the world. And from there, we might have a chance of actually responding to what's going on in the world, which, as you and I know, Lizzie, Nick writes about at some length in this post. We haven't included that bit just for the sake of length here. But it gives us a chance to respond to the world from our own sacred tender-heartedness rather than our sort of hard, desperate cynicism.
Yeah, I'm feeling really, I don't know, like met by Nick's who-ness. I don't know how to say it, but the way that he relates to the world, and you know, when he says at the end, the intangible place with truth and music and your father reside, you know, he's an incredible, successful, extendedly life-filled musician, performer, writer, creator. So he's in touch with this in that particular way. And I know many, many people in that creative path. And, you know, a very wonderful, lovely composer friend of mine said to me once, we were listening to this very beautiful song. And he said, I really wish I'd been given that one. As if there was a kind of a way that we're all receptacles and we all get given things. And what is it to open ourselves up to being given things, to being given songs, to being given a lyric, to being given a something? And that doesn't feel like a separate process to how do I open myself, soften myself, to use your word? How do I soften myself to be in receipt of the subtle realms? As you say, the non-hardened bits of life. How do I walk through the world in my relationships and my being softened so that I can receive and allow these spiritual intuitions, these fundamental underlying sacrednesses that make humanness what it is? How can I walk through the world and be someone who's in receipt of that? And I think that's the really deep and moving invitation I'm feeling from Nick, and how important that becomes when someone dies who you really love, and it's terrible. And what else do you have to rely on other than knowing that this is possible when feeling untethered from them feels entirely and completely unbearable. And I'm feeling the gladness of Nick's ability to stay here and write this and show us that there is a way, and to show us that we can turn towards even the most awfulness. And it's possible. And that we can gradually over time practice in this way so that we can tend to this very, very heartfelt piece of being human where we just love each other. And we love each other even beyond the worst arguments we could have, you know, and the worst fallouts we can have. And that this really matters in the context of living too. You know, that these realms are really important as a reminder to what's real, way beyond us thinking that all of the bickering we do is real, all of the judging we do is real, all of those things seem to fall away in the consideration of this as I'm feeling it. And what an amazing practice. It's not that I'm never going to be judgmental again, but that I know the parts of me that generate that are very different to this underlying, sacred, fundamental, mysterious nature of things, as Nick says. And so to be always invited in, and sometimes we only get invited in when someone like Amy really brings her sorrow, and then we all get to feel into it together. And then sometimes we can take this into just an ordinary walk around the block and see how it can be with us then as well. So I really want to thank Nick. I want to thank Amy for saying the thing that she said and asking. And also, I just feel really blown away by the miraculousness of Nick offering this platform that people could write to him and to say, and Nick has like thousands and millions and trillions of followers, and this is in their hands too. And I'm so glad of that. So thank you, Nick. If by ever some miracle you're listening to us, I want to say I love you, Nick. And I'm sorry. And I'm your, I don't know what I am, maybe your sister or something. And I'm so grateful. And Justin, I'm so grateful to you for being also this combination of human, of marrying the worlds up, of straightforward ordinariness and never letting go of the mystery of things. I think that's your superpower. And I'm so grateful to be in this conversation. And as always, if anybody is out there and wants to send us a message and be in contact with us, we would love, love, love to hear from you. And we'll be emailing everybody soon about the 8th of June and how we're going to gather together and how we're going to do Turning Towards Life Live and all those things. So it's a good time to sign up so that you can receive all those communications from us because they're on their way. So thank you, everybody. And Justin, we'll be back next time for your next source and our ongoing conversations.
Yeah. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you so much. And to Nick and to all of you who are with us. And what a tender, sacred and beautiful conversation to be in today, Lizzie. I'm very grateful indeed. See you all next week. Bye-bye.